You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We got a ton of great health and fitness news for you. And to let you know what we'll be talking about on today's podcast, I'm going to throw it over to my lovely, beautiful, educated, smart co-host, Shannon.
I really feel like you're playing me up there.
Well, you are my wife, so I have to kind of be a little bit extra gratuitous with my compliments.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we're really excited. Today we get to dive into a little bit of what we did in Hawaii. We were out there for about a week, and we stayed very, very active. No, just kicking back and relaxing for us. So we're going to talk about that. And then also we're going to jump into a little bit of the kind of negative effects of travel, especially this is a very big travel season, summertime. So how we kind of work to combat some of those negative sides and impacts that you can experience while traveling. And then because Nick has always been a fan of Jeopardy and I think wanted his own game show, we are introducing the new Macros quiz game.
Woo! Yes, I'm super excited about that. I'm almost so excited to just jump right into that. But we're going to talk about some training first. ETT training got back on schedule this week. Like Shannon mentioned, we were out of town for a week on our honeymoon in Hawaii. So I actually left my clients with a take-home workout. I got some feedback from some. I didn't get to see a couple other ones this week. We couldn't match up schedules since we were actually had a holiday in the beginning of the week, and then we were just getting back into town. So I'm trying to get some feedback to see what they thought of the take-home workout. It actually featured a video workout that I did probably about 5 or 6 months ago that you can actually find on YouTube if you search Elemental Training Tampa. There's a whole workout filled with ETT structured exercises and combined striking and bodyweight stuff that I'd recommend you checking out and let me know what you think of it.
I love the video workouts. It's where I get most of my ideas.
Yeah, I think that's going to be definitely a part or a segment of ETT that's going to happen in the future. You know, anywhere from subscription based to and also free workouts that we're going to put out on a regular basis. But the ETT training for the week, I would say that it took me a little while to get back in the flow of things. I think the first session I had, the guys I trained with, I was holding mitts for them, and these guys are probably my most advanced students. They've been with me the longest. So normally our striking combinations are a little bit more involved and more advanced. And it was hard for me to just put the mitts in the right place. I was just all over the place because I haven't...
Punch in the face?
No. We're not that advanced. I don't let them try to punch me in the face. No.
Well, you know, I missed a glove here. Yeah. They go left, you go right.
No, luckily I was smart enough to put it right in front of my face. So, yeah, I mean, I got punched in the body and the shoulder a couple times, but never in the face, luckily. But as the week went on, I was able to get back into the swing of things, and it was good. And we're still dealing with some ungodly heat and humidity here.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
My clients are really, really, you know, showing their dedication, which I love. And for my training, I know I kind of mentioned it on a previous podcast. I was trying to do 100 kettlebell swings a day. Well, with the travel and the trip to Hawaii, kind of got...
That would be tough. We were in a treehouse for part of that.
Yes. It got definitely got kind of the commitment to 100 swings a day got knocked off the track. I tried to make up for it when I came back, but unfortunately, you know, I was trying to do it for 30 days. I made it about halfway there. So that kind of fell by the wayside, but still... For this month, after we got back from Hawaii, for the rest of the month of July, I'm trying to go alcohol-free for the rest of the month.
What?
Yeah. So obviously, this is the first Shannon's hearing of this.
Just scared the living daylights out of our pets.
Yes. I no specific reason. I mean, I don't drink a ton of alcohol to begin with, but I just, you know, I feel like it...
There was some indulging.
Oh, yeah, in Hawaii.
Some regular indulging in Hawaii.
Yes, that too, but also just because dehydration is a big thing for me right now.
Yeah,
because I work outside.
For you.
So I need to kind of be as hydrated as possible, and drinking alcohol in the evening, especially during the week, will kind of negate, you know, will kind of prevent the, you know, that can,
no,
can have a negative effect on my hydration levels for the following day of work. So I'm going to do that for the rest of the month and, you know, see how it goes. So far, we're about 10 days in, or actually probably just a weekend, because I started it on 4th of July, so...
Alrighty.
So we're only about a weekend. So far, going good. Alrighty. You know?
Yeah. So let's do it.
But what about training for you? What did you get into this week? Was it back on the bike, literally?
I did get back on the bike, although there was a couple failed attempts. I'm actually super bummed because I came back from the trip and I went to go back to my spinning class at the gym, and one of my favorite spinning instructors is no longer there. And it's, I don't know if anybody else out there takes a group fitness class. Your instructor can make or break that class, even if it's something you love. I love spinning. I would spin every day if I could. But I really only have two really great spinning instructors that I loved, and now one of them is gone. So now I only have like two classes a week at the gym that I really feel like I am motivated enough to go to. So I'm trying to figure out some different options, because that's not gonna cut it for me. I only went to the gym once, and then I did just a couple of at-home workouts, and then this weekend, just kind of like really taking it a little bit more easy. I did a really short workout yesterday. So I would say this was a transition week. This was not jumping back in and being full steam ahead. I was in super transition mode. I didn't even think I was gonna make like two. So I'm kind of impressed that I did like three and a half days where I got some exercise in.
Good.
So it's better than what it could have been.
Yeah. No, but. I agree. Especially with. I think we're about to get into it, but I mean, with the kind of the little bit of jet lag we had, it was hard to get back on board. And since we've already kind of talked about it and hinted at it about it, we might as well just get into our Hawaii trip.
Woohoo! You know? Cue the Hawaiian music.
Yes. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, you mean I should put it in?
Yeah.
Like, and put it in post?
Yeah, I don't think you should sing it.
Maybe I should do that. Okay, sorry. We'll talk. I mean, I think we'll talk about the air travel portion towards the end.
Yeah.
Let's get into how we stay active, because I mean, with us, we're not people that just lay about around the pool anyways.
Yeah,
that's not our style.
I think we've learned this. We learned this on our last trip to Key West, where we did do a little bit of lazing around the pool, but I think we did it for like a few hours, and then we're like, okay, this is enough. So, in Hawaii, since we were in two islands, in two very, very different kind of setups, we were at the Ritz-Carlton and Kapalua, Maui, for the first few days of our trip, and that was amazing, and it's a incredible resort. So, I mean, literally everything that you could possibly need or want or imagine and more is right there at this resort. It's on the coast. You're like kind of on this little cliff. There's tons. I think the great thing about Hawaii that both of us agreed on is the weather is freaking phenomenal, especially if you like to be active and outdoors, because it's like in the 80s and dry every day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in July or June. This is summer, and it was perfect. So we were able to get outside and just explore. I mean, why would you want to sit inside in a hotel room when you're in Hawaii? So we immediately set out to explore, and we did it on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a trail that was like through basically our resort.
I think it was just called the Coastal Trail. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they had another name and went all the way to the Kapalua Bay where we went snorkeling, which is another thing we did on a consistent basis.
Yep.
And that was very active. I mean, I don't know about you, but I felt pretty fatigued every time. We got out of the water every time, feeling fatigued.
Yeah. Well, we started off our days in Maui, and we would start with a run. We'd mm-hmm. go running, just explore as much of the super local area as we could. And then we didn't have a car. It's another thing we'd probably throw down. we didn't actually bother renting a car because we knew we had access to enough locally in Maui for the couple days we were there. But we'd started off doing a run, and then we'd typically go find our snorkeling spot. And one of our snorkeling spots, the first one, was right down the road, like a couple miles, 2.5-3 miles.
I think the one day you got sunburned was because we walked back.
Yes. Yes.
I think we did good every other time we were there, and obviously being in the sun, we got a little tan too, so that helped get a little base tan down. Mm-hmm. But we did really good about keeping sunscreen on, and we know how important that is. But the only one time you got sunburn is because we were out all day essentially walking everywhere and, yeah, and doing everything by foot or by fin when we were, yes, in the water. So,
but it was beautiful. And I mean, I think those kinds of places, the more you can move and explore, the better your experience. The only regrets you'll have are the moments where you're really just kind of sitting still.
Yeah, like we definitely experienced everything both islands had to offer, Maui and Kauai. And like I said, we had a car in Kauai.
Yeah, but it was a little bit different.
Yeah, we had more excursions planned in Kauai. So yeah, we had to drive to certain locations. We did helicopter tour, tubing tour, boat tour. So, but one thing was consistent. We always try to make it to the beach and do some snorkeling.
Mm-hmm. Swimming everything around.
Yep.
And we still did a fair bit of walking, even on Kauai, where we was the opposite of the Ritz-Carlton, where we stayed in, it was actually called the Birdhouse, but it was a tree house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a little tiny house that was practically in a tree. And it was beautiful, but there wasn't the creature comforts that we were used to at home, and definitely not the creature comforts we were used to at the Ritz. There were creatures, but I kind of had to name them in order to cope with them, but we didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with the creatures,
yeah,
which kept us on the move. Mm-hmm. So from basically sunrise to sunset, we were on the go. Either we'd drive to a town and walk around, or we'd drive around and just, you know, find places to go snorkeling, yeah, and go, yeah, to our little adventures.
We did a little hike. There's one place in Kauai called Princeville. It's a town. And there's it's just a well-known landmark, natural landmark called Queen's Bath.
Yeah.
And there are tidal pools right on, kind of built into the rocky shoreline that's there. And they get filled with, you know, seawater since the waves crash up and go in there and fill these depressions with seawater, and people can swim around, you know, enjoy themselves, possibly lose their GoPro.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. These are not tidal pools as in like, oh, I'm going to go puddle jumping. These are tidal pools that are about 10, 15 feet deep.
Yeah. Probably in some areas.
In some areas. And that are, they're like pools. So, yeah, when you're a bonehead and you jump in from the rock cliffs on the side with the GoPro without holding the top of it on, it's very likely to pop off and fall to the bottom of the rocky pool. Mm-hmm. That happened.
Yeah, that pretty much could have ruined our entire trip. You know, obviously you hear us speaking with a lot of, you know, enthusiasm about how great the trip was. Well, I'm sure that would have been a lot different. We probably wouldn't have been having this podcast if I would have lost that GoPro.
Oh, stop it.
As soon as I jumped off, the thing snapped off and sunk to the bottom, and I came up just with the tripod, and I immediately went into panic. Well, obviously panic mode. Shannon went into depression mode.
Yep.
I jumped up. Luckily, like I said, this is kind of a park area, so we weren't the only ones there. Some other folks there. Somebody had a mask and snorkel that let me use it. I jumped in, searched around.
Miraculously.
Miraculously found it and was, you know, so happy. Because if I would have lost that, we had so much footage of diving, of helicopter rides, I probably would have been running still, you know. I probably would have just stayed on Kauai, you know. But I think we stayed totally active there. You know, our diet was good, fair to good, I'd say. We always...
We eat fresh food.
Yes.
Every day, especially when we're on Kauai. We had we had lots of local food, but it was all very fresh. We went to good places every morning. We started off our day right. There were, of course, I think as most people do on special trips and occasions, the daily indulgences that we probably wouldn't do otherwise, but I would actually think this is one of our healthier trips. Like, this is honestly, I started off a little rough when we got to Maui. I had like really bad indigestion, like heartburn for the first 2 days. But then by the time we got into the, like, day two in Kauai, I was good.
Yeah. I think, like you said, everything was very green there. A lot of emphasis on natural local foods and organic stuff. So that was stuff we like. And we, I mean, a lot of seafood too, which, you know, we're big fans of. So that was good. And obviously, kind of, I indulged in sweets a little bit more than I normally do, but we were on a vacation, so I felt it was necessary to a certain extent.
We were sampling the local flavors.
Which is why now I'm here. Now I'm back in the States. I'm spending the rest of July not drinking any alcohol. So. But like you mentioned, the first couple days in Maui, the first days we got there, you had a little indigestion, which probably could have been brought on by the extended travel.
Yeah, I actually get that pretty regularly. That's sort of one of the downsides when I travel, and I'm not sure if it's like an anxiety thing, because I don't express a great deal of external anxiety. I internalize a lot of my anxiety, and I think because I do that, it all kind of gets compounded in my stomach and like my digestion. So I frequently, if I don't have a really clean diet, I get horrible indigestion to the point where like I am just really uncomfortable for like days. It sucks.
No, I agree. And I think what we looked up and some of the articles I've been looking at for kind of the physical effects of extended air travel, obviously people know about jet lag. People know about exposure to more germs or viruses, yeah. Being in closed spaces with lots, large numbers of people, being in airports.
Air. Yeah.
Another thing I learned recently, like you mentioned, the cabin is low humidity in an air cabin.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually get dehydrated just, you know, flying an airplane. And let's see the facts I got. It says, during a coast-to-coast airplane flight, the low cabin humidity can cause insensible fluid losses, of 4 to 6 cups. So that's about 1,000 to 1,500 milliliters. I don't know if they put a time or, I guess it's just from, so it's coast to coast. So, yeah. And that's, we did that and some. You know, yeah. We flew from Florida to Denver and then Denver to Maui.
So, we basically did like almost like two coast to coast. Yeah.
So, but I know one thing we always do, we always buy bottles of water before we go on the airplane.
And then we drink during the plane.
Yes.
And not just alcohol either.
Right. No. And we also bring snacks too. One thing to kind of help us get through it, we bring snacks. Some healthy snacks, nuts, kind of jerky, anything like that. It'll kind of get us through because I don't know why, but it always stimulates my hunger being on a plane for some reason.
It does. Yeah, I do too. Like if I don't eat, I end up getting off the plane feeling even more groggy and just kind of slow.
Yeah, well, sure, like I said, it probably weakens your immunity just being up there and you're being exposed to low levels of radiation.
And especially for ladies, you get really dehydrated on your skin. I know that Nick is not a big fan of the L word, lotion. But I travel with lotion, and when I do long trips, I use face masks, like the sheet masks that moisturize. And that has helped my skin a little bit, because that's kind of another downside, is I feel like because of that really intense absence of humidity in the air when you travel, your skin goes haywire either right during or right after. So trying to keep it balanced throughout a flight and everything is actually really good.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, losing up to a liter of water.
That's insane. I didn't know that
much. For a coast-to-coast flight is pretty substantial. Some other, and I would say with the jet lag with us, when we flew there, we gained time. So once we got to Maui,
that worked for us.
It was awesome. We were able to get a good night's sleep. Even though we were running on almost a 24-hour day, we were able to get extended sleep.
Yep.
So we were, once the sun came up the next day, we were right on point.
Yeah, we pretty much woke up every day at sunrise, which in Hawaii is earlier than it is here. It's about 5:30,
mm-hmm.
Whereas here it's about 6:30. So we would wake up with the sun, and frequently by the time the sun started to set, we would start feeling super tired, like yawning, and this is like 8 o'clock. So that time difference, I think, had a huge play in that, but it didn't feel as bad.
Right.
Because we were going the opposite way.
Yeah, like I guess we kind of synced up with the natural circadian rhythm of rising and falling with the sun, which was great. And I think we felt pretty refreshed every day, pretty ready to go. And then we had to do the trip back, which was more of an epic kind of almost 24-hour combined of flights and layovers.
Because we lost the 6 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not,
we actually had either the same, if not less, because we had a delay on the way out. We actually spent possibly less hours in the airport in air because the flights are also shorter coming back. But
well, in the air,
it's that 6 hour loss where you basically take half your day and you add that on to your travel. So yes, we were flying 13 hours, but then we add another 6 hours onto that and it's like, oh sure, we've been flying for a day and a half now.
Right. Well, we also had a couple longer layovers, too. I mean, I know with the delay on the way there. Huh?
We only had one layover.
We had two layovers. We flew from Kauai to Maui. We had a very long layover there.
Oh, I don't count that.
Well, I do count it, so.
We went wandering around Maui.
Yeah.
We planned still, that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, but some, it was interesting. I looked up an article. It was in The Economist. It actually, from last year, August 17th, 2015, and a study done by a university in Sweden looked at the, kind of the physiological, psychological, and emotional effects of extended air travel for people that, like, people basically, you know, businessmen and women that's what they do.
Right.
You know, they travel consistently. They talked about, obviously, the jet lag, exposure to germs or diseases, or just being being in airports and in airplanes. And another one, I think, there was a stat that they put in here was, like I said, the exposure to radiation. You are exposed to a certain amount of radiation when you fly. And according to this, people who fly more than 85,000 miles a year, say New York to Seattle and back every 3 weeks, exceed the regulatory limit for exposure to radiation.
Well, I mean, technically speaking, we're exposed to radiation every day.
Yeah, exactly. But this is, this is being exacerbated because you're just in the air that much.
Yeah.
And they also talk about the emotional toll of, you know, travel disorientation. So basically being in one city and the next and kind of not identifying where your home is.
Yeah.
And then the effect that has on any of the relationships you have. I can imagine how hard it would be to be a traveling businessman or woman and have a family. You know,
well, didn't you ever see that movie with George Clooney, Up in the Air?
Is that what it's called, Up in the Air?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the perfect description of what you're talking about.
I think we did good because, like you mentioned earlier, it wasn't until Wednesday of the week we got back from Hawaii that you started feeling a little laggish.
Yeah, we got back Sunday afternoon, left Saturday afternoon or evening, and that was to the third day. So the third day was when I felt like I hit a freaking wall, and getting up early in the morning, and I mean like early is like 5 o'clock in the morning, so early,
mm-hmm.
It felt really painful. I mean, I was like clutching my cup of coffee like it was my life support for about 3 hours every morning, Wednesday and Thursday.
We planned it pretty right, though, because like I said, we had the holiday in the beginning of the week, so we had a whole day where we could kind of recover.
Yeah.
And when we got back, the day we got back, I think we slept for a full almost 12-hour period,
yeah.
Which was great. So any recommendations for anybody who's doing long trips?
Mm-hmm.
I would say on the flight, make sure you buy water. Buy bottles of water to bring with you.
Hydrate, yep. lotion.
That's Shannon's recommendation. I would say if, because I think there's some kind of stress involved with getting up and going to the bathroom on an airplane. I think some people have that. You gotta push through that.
Yeah.
You gotta just realize, hey, I'm gonna drink water. You know, drink water. Don't enjoy too many cocktails, even though it's good. It's gonna dehydrate you. Drink water, water, water. And also bring snacks, some healthy snacks, something that'll fill you up, something with protein and or fat, nuts, jerky, things like that.
Yeah, and walk around as much as you can on your layovers, because otherwise you just stay in kind of that slump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder to get out of it on the other end.
Yeah, and try to build in some sort of recovery day when you get back into town, wherever you're going, wherever your home is. If you can, I know it's not easy for everyone because, you know, not everybody has the ability for vacation, whatever vacation time they have to do that. Try to get a built-in recovery day. I would also suggest wherever you end up going, if there's a time difference, sync up to their time, like the rise and fall of the sun there.
Yeah.
Even if you get in late, you know, I would say, you know, if you only have a couple hours before the sun comes up, either ride it out to the next night or take a couple hour nap, get up with the sun and try to get in sync. Because if you stay out of sync with that, I think it's going to be worse when you even try to get back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that our bodies are naturally kind of just programmed with the sun. It's a really good assister in switching to another time zone. So unless you're in a super bright area, throw open those blinds on your windows and let the sun wake you up, or find out what time the sun rises and get a little additional support with an alarm. It will definitely help you sync up faster. And then when you return, same kind of thing. Try to go to bed super, super early if you can. If you know you have to get up early the next morning and are kind of losing some time, just try to match yourself back up with those more natural rhythms.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's great advice. For anybody that's interested in this article, the study that I found about the effects of air travel. It's the title of it is A Darker Side of Hypermobility. It's in the Journal of Environment and Planning A. It's from last year, 2015, and I know the study was done at the University of Surrey, which is in Sweden.
And you'll include that in the show notes.
Sure. Yes, exactly. We can only find the abstract and an article from The Economist. We have to subscribe and pay for the full journal, but we pretty much got the gist of some of the negative effects.
Good impact.
Yes. So if you are a person that travels extensively for their job, make sure you try to take the steps you needed to thwart some of those emotional and physical problems.
Yeah, and just, I mean, summer travel. These are great tips to use if you're taking some flights or if you've got some road trips or whatever. Just remember that they kind of still apply.
Yep. All right. That's the recap. That's our advice about air travel. Now it's time.
This is the moment you've been waiting for.
I've been thinking about this since we started recording, since the mics came on. It's the debut of the Macros game.
Ooh.
Yes.
You're going to need some really good sound effects.
Yeah, once again, I'm going to have to do a lot of editing on this podcast, apparently. A lot of putting in a little music and post. And now, it's the Macros game. All right, folks, so here's the gist of the game. Shannon is going to be the contestant. I am going to be the host, the Alex Trebek of this game. And Shannon is going to have to guess the macronutrient. And for anybody who doesn't remember what macronutrients are, it's protein, carbohydrate, and fat. She has to guess the macronutrient when given the amount of that macronutrient in grams of a specific food.
So I have to guess the type.
Yes.
Macronutrient.
Yes.
Right?
So she has to guess protein, carbohydrate, or fat. Those are the three guesses you have.
So you're going to give me the name of the item, and then you're going to give me a number in grams, and then I have to guess which of the three it is.
Yes, I'm also going to give you the serving size, too, which is on the food label for that specific item.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, let's
These numbers are found on the food label for this specific food item.
So you're saying you didn't make them up.
I did not make them up. Okay, these are actual numbers. All right?
Bring it.
Question number one, or I should say food number one. 2 teaspoons A creamy, no salt Valencia peanut butter has 7 grams of what macronutrient? What do you think? Peanut butter. Pretty nutrient dense food.
It is, but like, I'm gonna say protein.
7 grams of protein per 2 tablespoons. Is that your final answer?
I'm gonna say that's my final answer because it's either the fat or the protein. And I wanna say there's more protein than there is fat. I'm gonna stick with 7. I'm gonna stick with protein.
And then it says answer is carbohydrates.
Damn it, I was so wrong.
You were so wrong. All right, so...
Wait, so what is the protein?
The protein is 8 grams per 2 tablespoons.
So close!
And the winner of the macronutrient is fat. 15 grams of fat per 2 tablespoons.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know there was that much fat.
So, peanut butter, pretty nutrient-dense food. I mean, 15 grams of fat, 8 grams of protein, 7 grams of carbohydrates.
I love peanut butter.
Yes, I'm also a big fan.
I can go eat some peanut butter right now. That doesn't deter me at all. Peanut butter
cup. Okay, good. Yeah, and nor should. We love peanut butter here. We're big fans. Okay, so food number 2.
So, one, I'm down.
You are 0 for 1.
Damn it.
All right. 1 tablespoon of cold press, unrefined, virgin coconut oil has 14 grams of what macronutrient?
Fat.
Fat. Why would you answer fat?
Because I don't know that it has that much. I mean, 14 grams is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
It is an oil, which means it is by nature of the fat family. I would expect it to have a high amount of fat versus other things.
And the answer is fat.
Yes, I got one.
She got one.
Woohoo! You're actually, I got one.
Your explanation was pretty much spot on. Like I said, oil is obviously a fat. Mostly everybody associates like olive oil, coconut oil, other oils with fat. Actually has, I believe, I didn't write down, I think it has 0 grams of any other macronutrient. Essentially a fat.
So if I said anything else. So I was saying, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's basically
it
is.
Since this is just straight coconut oil, no flavor, no anything like that, no sugar added, it's just 14 grams of fat. So a healthy dose of fat. I love putting that. I put that in my coffee almost every morning to give me a nice fatty, a fatty start to the day. A little energy. All right. Food number 3. 2 tablespoons. Of creamy, smooth Mediterranean hummus has 3 grams of what macronutrient?
I think it does have more carbs than that. And it's a bean, so it's not going to be as high in fat, but it's also a bean. It's not going to be as high in protein. I'm going to go with protein.
You're guessing protein? That's
I'm
your final answer?
Protein.
And the answer is protein.
Yes.
Yes. 2 in a row. That's right. You pretty good reasoning, too. The creamy, smooth Mediterranean hummus has 4 grams of fat per 2 tablespoons. So like you said, being a bean. Is that, chickpeas a bean?
Well, it's a lentil? Legume, I or think. Legume? I think it's a legume.
Bean or legume? I don't know, because peanut butter is legume. But I think they are beans. I think garbanzo beans, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is a bean. Yeah.
Because then you say chickpeas, garbanzo beans, they're the same thing. All right. But yeah, so they are a bean. So you get some good reasoning. So they are the highest macronutrient is a carb because they're more, you know, carb-based. So 6 grams of carbs for 2 tablespoons. So pretty nutrient-dense, a good distribution of all 3 macronutrients. All right. You're 2 for 3 right now. All right. So now we're going up to a little bit heavier amount. 1 cup of full-fat, all-natural Greek strain yogurt has 11 grams of what macronutrient?
Oh, my. 1 cup?
1 cup. That is the serving size.
Man, this is a tough one. Because I want to say it's, like, not too far off on all 3. It's one of the reasons that we eat it a lot. I wouldn't guess that it has that high carb because it's a dairy product.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go with carb.
Let me add something. This is plain.
Right.
Unflavored.
This is unflavored.
Fat, all natural Greek strain yogurt.
I'm gonna guess either protein or fat, but
final answer.
I'm gonna go with fat.
She's going with fat, and the answer is fat. Whoa, she good narrowing it down. This is a Faye yogurt that we eat. It has 20 grams of protein per 1 cup, and then 9 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
Which actually, I think, is actually 9. That 9 grams is from the sugar, which is hold from lactose in the milk.
Right.
This is made with whole milk. So, if this noise you guys hear, is in my notes for the game, just to let you know. So,
we'll
if you hear
figure
that
out how to get rid of that for the next one.
All right. So, very last one. You're 4 for 5. Excuse me. You're 3 for 4. Okay.
Whew, right.
So, to get a passing grade, you need this. All right.
No pressure.
All right. Final food. 1/3 cup. Of dry roasted, spicy wasabi flavored edamame.
Oh, jeez.
Has 10 grams of what macronutrient?
Well, typically dry roasted, I would say it's more higher on the carb side. Edamame does have a good amount of protein. I used to eat them a lot when I was vegan, but I don't think it's anywhere near that. So I'm gonna go carb.
Carb is the final answer?
Yeah.
And the answer is carbohydrate.
Yay! I passed!
4 for 5. She is a wiener. You're right. You good reasoning, but actually it has more protein.
Does it?
1/3 cup of the dry roasted spicy wasabi flavored edamame has 13 grams of protein.
Wow, I thought they had less.
Well, this is a soy product.
They were great. They were a great food when I was vegan. I used them as a protein source, so.
So that is the very first inaugural episode of the Macros Game. Hopefully you guys played along at home. I forgot to mention that in the beginning. Damn it.
Yeah.
If you guys played along at home, let me know how you ended up doing. If you went 5 for 5.
Did
Shannon went 4 for 5.
Yep.
If anybody got them all correct, let us know. We're going to do that on a regular basis, probably not every show, but, you know, try to mix that in every once in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe Shannon's going to come up with 5 and test me.
Oh, I will come up with 5.
So, guys, that's it for this week's show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys enjoy every episode. We got some big news. I finally scheduled the next interview, or we might have one preempted that, but we got a hold, I've kind of teased it before, of a author who's got a cookbook coming out, a healthy cookbook.
Ooh, love it.
We finally got it on the books, the time for scheduled an interview, so that will be debuting probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks, along with the debut of her book, too. So that's big news. I'm really excited about that. Also, we've mentioned before, ETT does a monthly group training session. We have been doing it on the Tampa River Walk. We're doing a little run. This month, we're actually going to try to get a group together to go to a charity kind of fitness event that's happening in Tampa to help raise money, I believe, for either the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting.
In Orlando.
Yes, and or the entire L... I'm sorry, I'm probably going to leave out the number.
LGBT.
Thank you. Isn't there a Q in there, too?
What?
I think there's a Q.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. Okay, sorry. Sorry if we left off any numbers, but...
Letters.
Jeez. Any letters. God, if there's numbers in there, I'm way behind. Sorry if I left off any letters, but yes, for the community for in general, yes. So, that's a cool event. I'm going to hopefully talk to some of the organizers of that event, maybe even have them on to talk about it before, but we're definitely going to get a group together. I'll definitely be posting that for the Elemental Training Tampa Facebook page. And also, you know, another big news, I finally did it. We're on Snapchat. ETT Tampa.
What?
Excuse me. ET Tampa.
Finally.
Is on Snapchat. Same handle as Instagram and Twitter, ET Tampa, ETTAMPA.
Granted, I was late to the Snapchat game, but nowhere near as late as you were.
Yeah, of course. I was. but I'm trying to do it, folks. Hopefully.
You're doing it so good.
Yes, hopefully you guys enjoy it. All right, I think that's all we got this week for you. Hopefully we entertained you and educated you.
Yeah, I think there's some nice little educational tidbits.
Yes, please, guys, rate, review, comment, and subscribe to the podcast. We need your feedback to help us make a better product.
Yeah, and share any additional ideas or questions that you have that maybe we can find answers for an upcoming podcast.
All right, that's it, folks. Thanks for joining us on this week's edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Welcome, and thank you for... we'll start again. Sorry. In 5, 4...